Lions do over the weekend. Brad Spielberger breaks down the draft with us from Pro Football Focus.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And a pleasant good Tuesday afternoon, everybody. Matt Derry with you. It is Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for checking us out wherever you get your podcasts and, of course, watching and subscribing for free on our Locked On Lions YouTube channel. Coming up today, Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focused handles all of their analyst work when it comes to the salary cap, but he knows more than just the cap. He did a great breakdown of the draft throughout these past few months, and we'll talk to Brad about what his thoughts are on how Detroit did this past weekend on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Also, Brad Holmes speaks today about Jared Goff and contract extension. And we got jersey numbers. Jameson Williams wanted number one. Yeah, he didn't get it. Follow us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, and, of course, Locked On Lions YouTube channel as well. Locked On Lions Today is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Don't miss your shot at that no-sweat first bet. Up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Always love talking to Brad Spielberger. He is one of the best in the business when it comes to just breaking down the NFL and rosters and the cap. And he did a great job leading up to the draft with all of the previews that they did at Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk to Brad coming up momentarily on the show today. Two notes before we get to Brad. Number one, Brad Holmes, the Lions general manager, yes, the villain, was on the Stoney and Jansen with Gov and Heather and Greg show on 97.1 The Ticket this morning, and they asked him about Jared Goff, and hey, if you haven't any contract extensions with your boy, with your quarterback, who's got 2 years left, and Brad Holmes says, yes, there has been some dialogue as far as contract extension talks, and that's all that Brad Holmes would say. And so it was interesting to hear Holmes say that. The Lions really don't have to do anything right now. They've got Jared Goff under contract for 2023 and next year in 2024. He's a winner. He has come here and won football games. This past year, he played very, very well. And Goff has said it's out of his hands. It's not up to him, but you know he'd want to stay. There's a good combination going on with him, with Brad, Brad Holmes, geez, with Dan Campbell, with Ben Johnson, with everybody on that offensive staff. And the Lions should have some conversations with Jared Goff. But what the Lions shouldn't do is jump to conclusions and give him 5 years and $250 million and give him $50 million a year. That's something they should not do. I'm assuming the talks are going somewhat to the extent of Goff's agent is saying, you want an extension? We're going to start at $45 million. Or we want this amount of guaranteed. We want 5 years, whatever it is. And maybe the Lions are saying, oh, we're thinking more 3 years. Maybe some voidable years. Maybe 5 years, but a couple of those voidable. The Lions just spent Friday, sorry to say it, drafting his replacement for down the road if they go that route. But if Jared Goff plays well this year and the Lions continue to ascend up and are heading towards the NFC Championship game, and they need Jared Goff. But Jared Goff needs the Lions, too. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of teams going, oh, man, I'm dying to get Jared Goff. So, little game right now that they're playing, having a conversation, but I don't think anything's going to come of it until this time next year. The Lions have 2 years left of Jared Goff. He's not going to want to be a lame duck going into next year. What if Jared Goff looks more like the Jared Goff of 2021 in 2023 and not 2022? Then if you're the Lions, you say, we're not going to extend him. We'll see. So I think they're doing that right. The other thing that came out today was the Lions announced jersey numbers for some of their rookies and free agents that they've signed. So for example, for the rookies, Hendon Hooker will wear number 12. Gibbs will wear number 26. Branch, 32. Green, 80. Sorsdell, 75. Jack Campbell, 46. Laporta, 87. And Broderick Martin, 98. All right? Interesting. Brian Branch wearing number 32, wearing Dre Bly's number, is kind of cool, I'll be honest. And then as far as the free agents that signed, the big one for me, we all knew about Marvin Jones wearing number 0. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson wanted to wear number 2. We knew that. Cam Sutton is going to wear number 1. If you remember, the minute the Lions let Jeff Okuda go, suspended gambler Jameson Williams wanted number 1 back. He, of course, the number he wore at Alabama. And he tweeted it out, "I want to get that Uno back." Sorry, J-Mo. Cam Sutton is going to wear number 1. Cam Sutton should wear whatever number he wants. The guy has earned a pretty big contract, had a nice career with the Steelers, pretty big pickup. I don't know if this is a statement by the Lions to not give Jameson Williams that number, but if Cam Sutton asks for it, Cam Sutton's getting it over a guy that right now is letting his teammates down by being suspended for the first 6 weeks. So Graham Glasgow wearing number 60 again is kind of cool. And Ife Melifonwu changing his number to a number 6. So those are just a few of the numbers that the Lions announced today. All right, Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus is coming up next. But Locked On Lions today, as we told you, is brought to you by FanDuel, the number one sports book in the country. America's number one sports book. We got NBA playoffs. We got NHL playoffs. We got Major League Baseball going on. No better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything you want. All right? Money line, point spreads, over-unders, all that stuff. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockdown to sign up. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. We always love our conversations with Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focused at @PFF_Brad on Twitter. Joins us today. Talk a little Lions draft. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how's it going?
Good to see you, buddy. How'd the draft go for you?
It was hectic as always, and a lot of chaos and a lot of fun. But yeah, I think it was a good year to cover it and a lot of excitement throughout.
Interesting to see kind of the reaction from a lot of the national media on the Lions. Guy like Pete Prisco says, Dane Brugler picks their draft to be the 9th best out of the 32 teams. Where did you kind of look at the overall picture of what Brad Holmes did the other day?
Yeah, I think I just said it pre-show, and I probably said it elsewhere, that for me, I don't hate it from a short-term window perspective. I think Jahmyr Gibbs, and we'll get into that a little bit, is going to be great pretty much right away. But if you're looking from a, hey, you had a chance to get more building block foundational long-term pieces with early draft picks, not your own, sitting there at 6th overall, I'm not sure you did that necessarily. I think there still are holes on this team on the defensive line, maybe fortify the offensive line a bit for the long term. But, yeah, I think he's going to be an exciting and productive player right out of the gate.
How surprised were you? And there's this talk now that Brad Holmes – would have even taken him at 6 if he couldn't have traded back. That would have almost, as Holmes said, broke the internet probably.
It would have. I'll tell you this. Look, they got sniped for Devin Witherspoon. Everyone knew that's who they were going to take at 6th overall. Obviously, Seattle takes him 5th. So good on them to explore their options. Don't just run that pick in with Gibbs at 6 and, trade down, accumulate some extra draft capital and still be able to go get him. So good for them for not, panicking and just making a snap decision.
Let me ask you this. The way they're talking, he was their number one running back on the board. Why not just stay at 6 and take Bijan Robinson? Did you give that any thought?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy it. I mean, look, I understand the standpoint of, like, I think him and Montgomery are a good yin-yang. Montgomery is kind of that early down runner. He does have some pass-protecting ability, and he can catch passes. So I guess I shouldn't say he's just an early down runner. But, you know, I think with Bijan, he's your bell cow, right? He's going to be playing on all three downs. And now maybe you want to have some two running back sets. You want to do some different things with both of those players, and I think you can. Look, Brad Holmes knows a heck of a lot more about football than I do. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. If Bijan Robinson wasn't your RB1 on your board, I think you were missing something.
Brad Spielberger with us from Pro Football Focus, handles the cap, analyzes everything for a PFF. We always love having him on. What makes Gibbs special in your mind, and is this a great fit for a Ben Johnson offense because they can split him out wide? You're not going to have Jameson Williams the first 6 weeks, and why not use him in a lot of different ways, right?
Yeah, so you hear this adage a ton with running backs that, hey, yeah, he's basically a wide receiver. Like, it's rarely ever true. I would say that 95% of the time it's not true. Gibbs is one of the rare exceptions where you can put him in the slot. He can go, you know, run legitimate routes, create separation, not just out of the backfield and do all those different things. He's in the 100th percentile in yards per route run, for PFF data. Like, he does offer that ability. So, you know, I'm not going to call him a Christian McCaffrey-type player, but I feel like we hear that all the time, and usually it's not necessarily true. With him, it is. I think he is going to have a legit impact right away, and not just as a runner, but they're going to love using him all over the place. And, yeah, Ben Johnson will have defenses in a bind trying to account for him on every snap.
You guys had Jack Campbell ranked 39th on your board in terms of, you know, best players available, 1 to 200, whatever. He goes 18. Was that a reach in your mind, or did you like the pick?
This is also where things get interesting, and there's been a big discourse lately about the consensus big board and our big board, of course, and all those things. Look, I think he was the clear number one off-ball linebacker in the class. I frankly don't even think it was particularly close. There was some Drew Sanders conversation from Arkansas. I think he ended up going in the third round. So I think the league kind of saw it the way I did. Jack Campbell's a very, very good athlete, tested like off the charts, was a good player. But I do think kind of was viewed as more of a second-round pick. But we had the fewest off-ball linebackers drafted this year, at least the last decade. I haven't gone back further than that. But only 16 by what I tracked, and it's been 22 or more in every year before this. So when you say reach, look, we'll see a reach compared to every player in the class, maybe. If you're Detroit and you're saying we want to get a really good day-one starting potential off-ball linebacker, in their minds it's probably this pick or never. And so that was more of the calculus for them. I'm not saying I love it. I don't think you look at it simply 39 versus 16 or 18, excuse me. It's more like if you wanted to hit that position early, this was your shot.
Brad Spielberger with us. What would you like about Campbell?
Yes, like I said, the athleticism shows up. His ability to move sideline to sideline, he's going to get to holes and get to gaps that other guys simply cannot reach for his size especially. He's a big dude. He can shed blocks. He can play through blocks and make a lot of plays where you see an offensive lineman or a tight end on one shoulder and he's making a wrap-up tackle with his other arm. He has a lot of athletic ability. It is a super tough position to learn. The adjustment period is really, really steep. It's honestly, you know, even speaks more to how crazy last year was in Detroit with their ability to get great play from young, you know, rookie players at the position. So don't count on him being great right away, but all the traits and tools are there for him to become a really good player at the next level.
The Detroit Hawkeyes, they go back-to-back with these Iowa guys. Sam Laporta, I'm not doing backflips over. He only had one touchdown catch all last year. And I know how bad that Iowa offense is, but it seems like after the catch, he's shedding tacklers and is going to be making plays. Do you see a Hockenson comparison at all?
I think he's a stud. So it is obviously he'll get compared to Michael Meyer the rest of his career, obviously going right before him. But I get it. I do. I thought he deserved to be an early second-round pick. I think I actually put out like an article, the best case scenario for the Lions, and I had them taking Laporta in the second round. So, yes, after the catch, like you mentioned, he is so good in space, not only barreling guys over, but also just making players miss and forcing missed tackles. There is some Hockenson in there, and probably a better blocker, although I think Hockenson also we thought was going to be a better blocker coming out of college. But yeah, like I don't think fans should say this is an insane pick and how could they pick him over Meyer. I like Michael Meyer too, but Laporta is a really, really good projection to the next level, and not to scout the helmet, but you know, Iowa tight ends have been done pretty well in the NFL so far.
No, they have, no question about it. You mentioned before, before we hit record here, about Brian Branch. I mean, how can you not love moving up three spots, actually trading with a division rival in Green Bay to go get him? Might not play a ton this year, but again, how do you keep him off the field? I know they got so many guys in that secondary, but this kid, I thought that was a steal. What'd you think?
About it. I mean, the versatility they have on the back end, they now have four dudes who can play, you know, every safety position in Kirby Joseph, you know, in him. And now you bring in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, very versatile players. You know, if Tracy Walker can get healthy, I think that's the thing. Maybe he does play early. I know Walker's posted some videos of him looking pretty good, but I think Branch actually could see the field fairly early, and he can play in the slot, can play safety, obviously does have some experience at corner as well. So I just love, you know, Aaron Glenn is a secondaries coach first and foremost. He's going to have a heck of a time. That might be one of the most improved position groups in the entire NFL this offseason is that Lions secondary.
Yeah, it's almost like you're getting another Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, but a younger version in Brian Branch. You see that?
Yeah, no, definitely. He is. He is that guy. Versatile, good athlete, probably a better athlete, frankly, and apparently whip smart, just knows football at a really high level. Yeah, I love that pick at 45.
All right, so they do the unthinkable, not something that the Lions have done for many, many years, going back to Brad Kaya as a developmental quarterback in the late rounds, although obviously third round isn't real late, but getting Hendon Hooker, what was your reaction? What do you think of the fit of Hooker in Detroit?
I think it's smart. Look, first and foremost, you just simply gave yourself some leverage. And not that you want to make a draft pick with the first thought in mind being, now we have some leverage over our veteran quarterback in extension negotiations. But look, it's part of the equation there. I think he's a good player. If he doesn't tear his ACL, I still didn't buy like a ton of the hype. I never thought he was going to go in the first round with the ACL. Without it, I think he could have been one of those guys where a team trades up into the, you know, 27 to 32 range to go ahead and make that pick. I don't think he was going to be a top 10 guy just because of the age, but he's a really good player. And the thing is, you have to coach out of him, his ability under pressure, and he takes a lot of bad sacks. But I think everything you want to fix of his is fixable, right? It's not that he has, you know, like he's not capable of getting to that next level. So I really liked it. You know, he obviously fell way further than anyone expected. And it's always important to have a good backup. When you're, let's say you are just a contending team, Goff is the guy. Having a good, high-quality backup to play for 2-3 games a year in case a guy gets hurt, that matters in today's NFL.
Do you expect him to be the backup, or can you look at this as a total redshirt season? Let's let the knee get healthy. Let's let him hold the clipboard and learn. And then go from there, and maybe even bring in a Teddy Bridgewater, and you got Sudfeld, and maybe Hooker's just kind of standing there for a year. Could you see that scenario?
Yeah, that's probably fair. I think at least for the first half of the season, and then maybe in practice, if you think, all right, you know, this guy, let's elevate him to the number two spot, give him that, you know, accreditation, whatever you want to call it. You see, it's meaningful though. You see that around the NFL. I think that's probably the smart way to play it from a health standpoint, from a, you know, just understanding the game. Because yes, the Tennessee offense, everyone talks about this, but it was kind of a fake offense. Fake's the wrong word, but you know, a very gimmicky, you know, kind of different style. They're able to spread guys out and do things you can't really do at the NFL level. But yeah, I think by the end of the season, he should be the QB2.
It's going to be very, very interesting to see where this goes. I want to ask you about what Brad Holmes said today about Jared Goff extension talks. We'll talk about the back end of the draft as well with Brad Spielberger from PFF. Our guest today from Pro Football Focus, Brad Spielberger. We love having him on the show, one of the best in the business when it comes to breaking down some of these players and what the teams are doing. I want to get back to the golf thing for a second. So Brad Holmes went on the radio this morning and said, yeah, we've started talks with a Goff's agent. What do you think that contract would look like? They're in no rush, Brad. They've got two more years of Jared Goff. I think that he would want to do a deal next year. But how do you kind of see this playing out?
Yeah, I would think he would want another year. He obviously finished the last season on a tear, but I think if you look at his production over the entire year, he probably thinks he can do even better. Obviously, once you get, you know, some of these offensive players in the building, develop more chemistry, get Williams back from his suspension, all those things, you know, I think he would want to say, hey, look, I want to go into it, you know, coming off a stronger season, ideally a playoff season, a division winning season, all those things. So always smart to get the ball rolling and have the conversation, but I almost don't want to project it because I think it really depends so much on 2023. But look, I think what you do with Hooker, kind of like I mentioned, is you say, look, we will give you a new deal. We will pay you pretty handsomely, but We now view you in the $40 million per year conversation. We're not getting into the 50 plus, you know, million per year conversation. If you want to push the market and you think you should, you know, be near the top end again like you were the first time, then that place for that is not here. But if you want to say, hey, I'll take a little bit less because I buy in the culture, this team believed in me, traded for me, resurrected my career, we're in that market with you. But I think that happens next offseason no matter what.
You wonder about what kind of year he has this year. And maybe, let's say, he has the same type of year. They make the playoffs and they win the division. And Goff is good. I wouldn't say he had a great year. I'd say he was, you know, very good to very good. But a lot of it, people say, is Ben Johnson. And I don't think Ben Johnson's going to be here in a year. Does that factor in, do you think?
For me, it does. You know, I would imagine the organization looks at it the same way as well. I'm not going to say, look, that a quarterback is completely carried, but Ben Johnson is one of the better offensive coordinators in the entire NFL. I think he easily could have had a head coaching job if he wanted to, and does just scheme a lot of things up and make things easy for Goff. You know, the story with Goff always has been he can make any throw. His arm talent is really, really solid, but he's not a mobile quarterback. He's not great outside of structure. He does also kind of take some bad sacks in a different way than Hooker, but it does scare me a bit where you lose him potentially. Who's the new play caller? You know, are you going to be able to sustain, you know, the quality offensive line play and all these things if you then pay him a bunch more money? I think right now the beauty has been the sweet spot of you inherit his deal and it's kind of a true mid-market contract. Again, not saying he's incapable of playing up to that level, but I do think, like, for me, he's a guy that you can win with on this deal. He's not a guy I think you can surround him with enough talent if you're paying him near top of market.
Last three picks, Martin, Sorsdale, and Green. Any thoughts on where the Lions went there? I know in the third round getting Broderick Martin, it's kind of interesting. I looked up his RAS score today. Yes, I geeked out. And it's real low, which is unusual taking those high-ranked RAS. But his was in the twos for out of 10. I like the kid that the Browns got two picks later, Ika. About us three guys.
Yeah, so, you know, again, I mentioned don't always kind of follow these consensus boards, but he was also number 260, I think, on the consensus board. And, you know, he took him top 100. So, look, there's information we don't know, and I'm sure he's a very healthy. I'm sure he's a great person. I'm sure they see a lot of development potential and all those things, although, yeah, the testing is a bit concerning. But also, you know, some guys test and they have a tweaked hamstring or stuff we don't know. I'll be completely honest with you. I had never heard of any of the guys on draft night. Sorsdahl, I had to go watch a little bit of film. Antoine Green was the guy who stuck out to me. I know it's a super late pick. He might not even make the roster. But yeah, I thought he had some good tape. I think he's a rangy player. Was an interesting pick for them. I'll be honest. I'd be lying if I had a strong take on any of them.
I don't know. It just – I went into the draft, and you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, thinking Brad Holmes will do what he's done, which is stock up on D linemen, really build like the way the Niners do it, where the way the Eagles have been doing it. And the D lineman he got is a guy that, like you said, was sort of reached in a big way in round three.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Maybe they're still in the market for some guys out there. Actually, you know, I mocked Matt Ioannidis maybe getting signed by them as a late offseason addition. I think they should still be in that market. But I will say this, too, on Brad Holmes. And, yes, there's always variance in the draft. But he's always been good in those later rounds in particular. When we talk about Malcolm Rodriguez. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, especially because, like I said, I'd never even heard of these guys. I will give him the benefit of the doubt on some of the late round picks. But, yeah, I still do want more juice on the interior of that defensive line.
Lions got Mo Ibrahim, the running back from Minnesota, as a UDFA. I was a little bit surprised he didn't get drafted. I know, you know, it's a running back, and there's a ton of them, and we're kind of going away from that position, but I thought that was kind of a steal as a UDFA. What'd you think?
Totally agree. Yeah, I think he has a lot of tread on his tires. Maybe that scared teams away a little bit. He has played a lot of college football. But, yeah, for an undrafted free agent or even for a late-round pick, why not? I like that a lot. Again, he is truly kind of your early-down mauler. I talked to a teammate of his in Minnesota before the draft for kind of an article about him, and he said, I'm not saying this because I'm biased. I try to tackle a lot of really good Big Ten running backs, and Mo is the hardest guy to bring down. Maybe not the fastest, maybe not the shiftiest, but he is a very hard human being to get on a knee or an elbow because it's just hard to tackle that guy.
Final thing, you look at the rest of the division. Now we've gone through free agency. We've gone through the draft. I ask you all the time where you would view Detroit, but also how do you think the rest of the teams in the division did in terms of the draft?
Still think they're the clear favorite in the NFC North. Chicago, I think – still went long term. So very developmental. You know, I don't mind the players. I've been obviously crunching all their film a ton as a Bears fan, but they are guys that I frankly, Darnell Wright, the first round tackle, will be playing, I think, right away. The two defensive linemen in the second round and Zach Pickens and Javon Dexter, I think, are going to be rotational 300 snap guys at best in the first year. Tyreek Stevenson, the corner from Miami, I think probably will play right away as well. But anyway, I think they are still thinking long term. Don't really threaten, the Detroit Lions this year. My Vikings didn't have a ton of capital, obviously, trading for T.J. Hockenson. Jordan Addison's a big pickup. You know, got to get a number two wide receiver there, but still a lot of questions along that defense for me. And the offense is solid, but you know, Adam Thielen's a decent sized loss. And then Green Bay also. Big signal to me for them. They're totally thinking long-term. I like the players. I actually really like Lucas Van Ness, I think, more than consensus. But every pick, the two tight ends in the second round, and some of the guys later, the receiver in the second round as well, they're all, to me, guys that you're bringing them in for 2024 and beyond, in my opinion.
Brad, we love talking to you. Appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Brad Spielberg with us from Pro Football Focus. We love the folks at PFF. This has been a Tuesday edition of Locked On Lions.